Welcome to the Fittest Podcast in Oakland, where your favorite coaches talk everything to help make you a better person inside and outside the gym.
Here we go. This one's simple this week, gang. We answer the question, what should you be doing more of and what should you be doing less of? And then we, as you CrossFitters, fitnessers, and people who come to CFO, we talk specifically our community and what we believe you should be doing more of and what maybe you should be doing a little less of. So sit back, enjoy, and have some fun as we dive deep into your question. Take care, gang. And we're back. Okay, so today we are talking again off the AMA board, and we're going to kind of combine two questions into one. Maybe almost three questions into one. We'll go three. So there was one question in two parts, or two questions in one part. I don't know. It was worded, what should CrossFitters do more of? And what should CrossFitters do less of?
That's right.
So I don't know how you count that as one or two questions. You can decide at home. And then there was a third question along similar lines of what should we be doing beyond just the regular group class and programming?
Okay, like homework.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I think is along the same lines of more and less.
Yes. Agreed.
In general terms, to finish this podcast in 1 minute or less, you should do more showing up at the gym, having fun, and working hard. Less being nervous, being scared, or whatever else makes you feel bad in the gym. Done.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the podcast.
So be nice to yourself is good. Be not nice to yourself is bad.
Yes. Done.
I love it. Good.
All right. Let's actually help you all here with a little bit of more or less in what we're doing.
Yeah. In the plus column and the negative, the T account.
The T account.
It's an accounting thing.
I know it is. I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about, which T account.
At the T account of CrossFit, what should we put in the more column? What should we put in the less column?
Give me a general direction you'd like to start in.
Well, we came up with three kind of topics, right? We talked about self-talk. You want to start there?
Let's save that one.
Okay.
Because that one goes deep fast.
Yeah. Well, what was the third? Because one was nutrition, one was self-talk, and one was, what was it?
Oh, I got it.
Stretching and...
Okay.
Okay.
So, with the nature of CrossFit...
Yes.
CrossFit is about... reps and scores and times, right? And accomplishing things a lot of times. And in that nature, and we see this in the gym oftentimes, we, especially at higher intensities, go too fast or go shorten the range of motion. Like there was a funny thing, and I don't think this person would mind me saying their name. Mm-hmm. We were warming up burpees last night and... Anna did a burpee where I don't even know if she got off the floor before she went back down. It was one of those.
So she was kind of like laid out parallel to the floor, like barely off the floor.
More, their feet were on the ground, but like.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've seen those.
Yes. Like
I could call out a couple of people besides Anna too.
But she laughed and goes, oh yeah, I did that. And we just kept laughing and the whole class laughed about it.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way. The moment I said 3, 2, 1, go, Anna did all the rest of her burpees perfectly, and they looked beautiful. And she actually worked really, 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 really hard last night, so I was very impressed. And
good
I told
job,
her,
Anna.
So give her a pat on the back as I make fun of her for her first sloppy warm-up burpee.
You gotta ease into it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't an easement, because it was like, come on. It was like a quarter squat.
Okay. Got it.
but in burpee form.
So laziness in your range of motion?
A little bit, I would say.
Or just going too fast?
I would say it's lack of awareness in range of motion that is appropriate for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know, and I squat, and you go, that wasn't full squat. I'm like, oh.
So part of it.
It sure felt like it.
And then, so I'll say sometimes that is a laziness thing. We just don't want to go there and all of that. And sometimes that's based on our competitive nature. That's based on our fear of a weight. Like I hear that often with folks. Well, I didn't know if I could come back up out of it.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah. Sometimes that's based on our physical structures,
mm-hmm.
And things like that. Like, no.
How warmed up we are.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
All sorts of stuff. And so what I remind people of, and this is both a more and a less kind of thing, is first try and train in the greatest range of motion that your joints will currently allow. And in the safest manner of that. Not safest. Safest is the wrong term. What is the right term there? Because it has a bit to do with safety. I would say managing the risks in those ranges. So for some of us, going to a greater range of motion with load is very, very dangerous.
If you can't maintain your brace, such and such.
Such and such. Or like, I would think of people who can't get overhead with their shoulders. And yeah. That's what causes their shoulders to hurt.
Yeah.
So for us, going overhead repeatedly in a dynamic fashion might be problematic.
Under load.
Yes. Might be problematic.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. But at the same time, with either our hands, like nothing in our hands, or a 2-pound dowel, or a light barbell, we might get ourselves into those ranges of motion. And find that, oh, wow, this is a better place for me to be. And I just need to now become aware and comfortable with the stimulus. Because sometimes it's you're capable of it. You're not one aware of how to get to it. Or you're afraid of re-injuring it.
So it's just easier to avoid it altogether.
Exactly.
Okay.
And what I'll remind people of is, the moment you stop doing something like that is the moment it goes away forever.
Yeah, use it or lose it.
And it's really important, I think, for almost any goal in the gym. I have yet to figure out one that this doesn't work with. But about every goal, like the show up and have fun goal, the change your body composition goal, the...
Get stronger.
The be able to go on crazy cool hikes outside of the gym. The be a competitive athlete. You name it. If you're not taking yourself into uncomfortable positions in the greatest range of motion that your joints will allow, you're missing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about the gym. The gym's not fun when you can't do the movements in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun. It is not fun. You won't change your body composition if you're not exercising, probably, in some way, shape, or form. You won't get stronger.
No.
If you're not exercising. You won't win a competition if you're not exercising in a great range of motion.
Yeah, and actually the scariest thing for me is you'll lose the ability to do things outside the gym.
Exactly.
They call them activities of daily living or even, just... basic things that now you can't do it. You need help to do it. It changes your quality of life.
Mm-hmm. And we all have activities of daily interest.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, like that.
Well, that's the beyond the physical therapy. We work in the activities of daily interest.
Yes.
We do not work in the activities of daily living because most of you can sit down and stand up. And most of the things that like the physical therapists go, okay, insurance won't cover this anymore.
Yeah.
But you tell me, hey, Ben, I want to be fit and healthy to run the marathon and not have my knee blow up on me.
Yeah.
I'm like, got it. No physical therapist is going to tell you that that's in their insurance bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the moment you can run, they're going to go, yep, you can walk and do daily things. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we all know that we have those things that we want to be able to do that we are interested in.
Got it.
And that's what's most important. So,
So CrossFitters should do more of putting yourself into as much of a range of motion as you could safely do.
Exactly. And what that means is, it might mean less static stretching.
Yep.
And less of utilizing the term flexibility or mobility work. Because a lot of times folks will come in and say, Ben, I need more flexibility or mobility.
Yeah, a lot. A lot of people say that.
And then we assess them. It's, again, why we go back to assessing people. I know I sound like a broken record every time. But we find out, oh, wait, you have adequate range of motion. Now the problem is you're weak there. Mm-hmm. The best example of this, which I tell people all the time, if I hand you a 5-pound dumbbell, you can hold it over your head. Right? Great. Now I hand you a 100-pound dumbbell. You can't hold that very long over your head or it becomes very uncomfortable. Did anything change in your range of motion? Nope.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
And that's most common for CrossFitters because we valued reps and set or reps and times and over sometimes ranges of motion and quality of movement.
Mm-hmm.
We've translated that in the gym and we do a better job of this. But it's super important that you understand and see that, like, yes, you need to mobilize and calm down, but that's probably done outside of the gym. Like, to be honest, that's more likely need to be done at your desk. Like, you need to be stretching and changing your positions at your desk versus stretching and changing positions in the gym. Because for most of us, we need to get stronger and a greater range of motion at the gym than we do stretching and mobilizing. Now, of course, post-workout, stretch away.
Yeah.
Because it also will calm, cool you down, allow you to gain greater range of motion and things like that. So your recovery will be better, which is very important to all of us.
So. Yeah. And the thing about this isn't what people say. It's cool to be a CrossFitter. It's cool. You walk in the gym. It looks really badass. This is the stuff, not the stuff we're talking about. This is the stuff you need to do as opposed to you want to do maybe. But it will make all the cool stuff better and more accessible to you for longer. So, and we've talked about this all the time, but it's the difference between sometimes different CrossFit gyms too. Is you're like, well, I just want to throw the barbell around and I don't do that here. We have to do all these like overhead carries and stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's why.
But to that same point, you want to throw the barbell around. All right, let's go to the greatest range of motion.
Exactly.
Let's not cut it off at parallel.
Right.
One, because most likely your technique isn't good enough and your skill isn't good enough to stop just there. Two, we're missing out on things that matter more to you.
Like, yeah.
Most people don't walk in the gym and go, my goal is just back squat 500 pounds. I'm waiting for the day. I'm waiting for the day I get the new client in and they're like, Ben, my goal is to back squat 500 pounds. And then I will change all of my thought processes around this.
And remember, your goal isn't to look cool throwing a barbell around either, typically. Most people's goal is to, you know, we have common goals, we know. We want to look good and we want to feel good.
But even if your goal is to look cool throwing a barbell around, it's going to help you look a lot cooler if your squat's to a full range of motion and controlled. Yeah, exactly. I think that's going to look a lot cooler than this partial squat that I'm going, you know, that just doesn't count.
Just like I argue, knocking out 10 strict pull-ups looks a lot cooler than even kipping to me. It's badass. Yeah.
Well, and what's always best is if you watch the really good gymnastics coaches, they do their strict pull-ups and then you watch their kipping pull-ups and their kipping pull-ups become beautiful.
Oh, they're so pretty.
Because of their strict pull-ups. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is a whole different skill that I cannot see and understand.
Yeah.
And that's the difference there. I think for a lot of people is it is totally cool to want the muscle ups, want this, want that. But if you're not taking things through the right ranges of motion and the right focuses, you're going to get yourself limited there.
Yeah.
We
did some drills with the muscle up, by the way, just to hammer the point home even more. And I was trying to teach people the transition and they were, you know, feet on the ground helping themselves through the transition. And even then I'm like, no, you got to slide it down farther. And they're like, oh, that's really hard. It's like, yes, that's the places, those things that you don't think of. That's where you need to be strong in that. You can't see what I'm doing because I'm on a podcast, but I'm holding my hands like a rings and pulling it down. Those little pieces that Ben's talking about with the range of motion is that those are the game changers. Mm-hmm. When if you have that strength, that's why it's hard. That's why you don't have a muscle up, because that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what you need to work on.
And that's where we break down.
Yeah.
At the edges there. And that's what's super important. That's when squatting gets really hard in the middle of a workout. That's when you don't want to pick up the bar when everybody's going. It's when you don't want to jump back up and try another pull-up on the bar. Like, that's because you're missing those pieces.
And that might be a good segue into is why you're doing it.
I'm doing it this way. Or you're like, Ben, I'm super nervous about throwing this big heavy weight over my head.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's the segue you're going to.
Yes, 100%. So the next kind of piece that we wanted to talk about, what we want CrossFitters in our gym to do more of,
is to challenge themselves with the discomfort.
Yeah.
And be comfortable with the uncomfortable. So this is a little different than most CrossFit gyms, because most CrossFit gyms I go in and I go, oh, you guys only know how to do discomfort stuff. You don't know how to do the really uncomfortable stuff of practicing single leg balance, holding a leg out in front of you. You don't know how to do the slow progression of the snatch. You don't know how to do the really focused intent work on the muscle up on the low rings.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Pausing deadlifts. I mean, talk about uncomfortable.
Yeah. You only know how to do the smash, yeah. hammer.
Yeah.
Thousands of burpees, go. And it's where I hear it all the time from people. Mental toughness is not just showing up and beating yourself up. Mental toughness is making the tough decisions when you don't want to.
Yeah.
It's the, I know, or nope, all I do is go to the gym 6 days a week. It's not, oh, my body's broken, going to the gym would be a poor decision today. Or, oh, I did not get enough sleep last night, I need to go home and rest versus go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly enough, with our population, I think we skirt the line in the other direction a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So my push to most people would be, no. Don't optimize. Stop optimizing. Start adapting.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt.
It's a whole concept.
So give a specific example of optimizing versus adapting.
Yesterday, heavy power snatch. I saw a lot of people doing multiple reps at the same weight. Multiple reps at the same weight.
So how is that optimizing?
It's, I have to perfect this to all the perfective points.
Got it.
And instead going, you know what? I need to challenge this system and adapt to what's coming at me. It's why, if you've ever been in a serious weightlifting program, most of the week, it's percentage-based, lots of reps, focus this. And they change difficulty with different complexes or techniques. Like they'll do, you can't move your feet. You can't use the hook grip. See how that changes it. Which also changes the load. They'll go, hey, you need to be lifting at this percentage consistently and perfectly. Like, but then at some point in time in that week, they're going to do a max out. And they're just going to go. Now, it might be a max out with a complex. Like, hey, you're going to do triples today. So it's three snatches. Not probably above 90%, but for most weightlifters, that's a lot of really, really hard work.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to tell people with CrossFit. It's what I just had experience with an intro client. She couldn't figure out the push jerk, and she just turns to me and goes, the bar's too light, Ben. I can't figure this out.
I need more weight. I have heard that so many times.
And it's like, yes. But I then joke with her and I go, yes, but if I handed you big heavy barbell, you go, Ben, I'm going to kill myself trying to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh yeah, I agree to that.
Yes.
So it was a beautiful conversation around that. But that's the problem. Is a lot of people get very nervous and very scared in two ways. One, they think they're going to hurt themselves. And I'll argue with you, a single repetition is far less likely to hurt you than a light 20 to 30 repetitions.
However, it is a valid fear.
Yes.
I mean, you got to work around it. It's not a black and white. You're never going to injure yourself no matter what. There's always that risk.
There's always that risk.
With anything.
Exactly.
Go for a run, you might fall down, you know?
Well, so I don't know how observant people are when they're driving, but be more observant on your next drive.
Oh, my God.
And check out how many times someone almost hits you.
No, I can't. The anxiety.
Exactly. Like, we do things subconsciously all day long and don't realize the dangers that's afoot.
Yes.
I watch it all day long, whether it's people crossing the street, whether it's drivers, you name it. It's just that. So there's that, this fear of injury. There's also what I've seen, the fear of failure.
Yeah.
And what I'll tell you is, the more comfortable you get with lifting weights and failing weights, the better you're going to be. The better you're going to be at lifting weights. The safer and healthier you're going to be at lifting weights. It's one of the biggest things I learned when I started weightlifting. It was, oh, just learn how to fail.
Well, that's your limit, right? You need to know your real limit, not your perceived limit.
And then even more so, you need to know when the lift goes awry, where to miss it at.
Yeah.
And where to fail at.
Yeah.
Because one, that keeps you safe. Two, that locks you in on, oh, this is the missing piece of my lift. This is this. And so it's like, I would learn more sometimes from missing a lift that I should make versus making a lift sloppily.
I call that in the gym, your demons coming out. At a certain weight for everybody, something will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what that is. What's the first break in the chain to get that weight up higher?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's pulling with your arms, we're not going to see that with a lightweight. We're going to see that when it gets heavy and you go, oh, I think I need to pull this with my arms and then fix it. Yeah.
I'm not going to see you starfish your feet way wide at a lightweight.
With a dowel. Yeah. Exactly.
But if you never learn and go to that uncomfortable place, you never get it.
Yeah.
And it's not just with weight. It's with other movements and other things. It's with yesterday's 5-minute AMRAP.
But I want to also put the caveat that we don't want to just add weight. We did a really sloppy lift. Let's add weight. We don't want to do that either.
True. I don't think there's a coach in our gym that would tell you to do that.
No.
I don't think there is. I take a lot of pride in that, in conversations with coaches and conversation with people. What I want people to understand and trust in, if I'm telling you to go heavier, it's because we believe in you.
Yeah.
And I jokingly apologize, but for a lot of folks, I have a lot more confidence in them than they do in themselves.
It's 100% true. And we've been doing this a long time. And there's just certain tells when we could tell by your bar speed and your range of motion if you could go heavier. It's really straightforward to us sometimes.
And what I want you to recognize when we do that, it is for your betterment, no matter what goal you're thinking about. The person who comes in the gym and wants to get out of your head. The best way to get out of your head is put something else to focus on. Like, nobody's thinking about their life problems when they're going max effort on a bike.
And we talked about, I can't remember the podcast, but we did talk about the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And pushing that and training that. And that's the only way to do it.
And you know what's great about that? When the nervous system is crushed, like you had a stressful day, you had a shitty sleep, you got yelled at by a toddler.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Guess what's going to happen? You're not going to lift as well. No. It's going to come out. I'm going to be like, yeah, we're not going any heavier. Because I never write down what people do with weights. I just look at how you feel and move.
And if you are that person that has trouble sleeping, get in the gym and just get crushed. And you will sleep so much better.
You'll feel way
better. Sometimes that's the only reason I force myself to work out. Because I'm like, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight if I don't do something today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk this when we get to the lifestyle stuff that Robin wants to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes, there are limits to that. And there are things that you should change there. But for the most part, if a coach is telling you something, they have your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not when you're on the bike. Maybe not to go faster. That might be the only time. Or go faster on your burpees.
I mean, that's definitely going to make you better. It's going to make you feel stronger when you leave. You're going to feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's love you guys.
With that all said, that discomfort piece right there, you need to push into it. Like, a lot of people have been telling me, hey Ben, I need more endurance, I need to be able to feel. I'm like, no. We talked about this last week. What I saw again yesterday, because 5 minutes is not an endurance based workout.
So yesterday, just to reference, was a 5-minute AMRAP.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
We heard that a lot. That's it. That's it. That's it. Yes, that's it. Talk to me after the 5 minutes.
Exactly. And when that occurs in bouts like that, that is far more about your ability to shut your brain off and be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm going to knock everybody upside the head, because I know the people who walk in this gym and the respect I have for everyone. You all do this in some aspect of your life.
I do.
Everybody is successful in their lives in some way, shape, or form. I see it every day. You wouldn't come to the gym if you weren't. Whether that's being a parent and being able to shut off your brain and make sure your kids get to school on time when they're crying and whining and can't find their shoes. It could be you as the CEO in the boardroom when the ship is on fire and you got to make it work. It could be those of us who are paramedics, you know, lifesavers, whatever they are, firefighters. You have to do the same thing, just now there's flames around you or blood, right? Yeah. You know, every single one of us does this in some way, shape, or form in our life.
Oh, I thought you were talking about not being, making yourself uncomfortable. That's the one I do.
You do sometimes, Robin, but you do it in the opposite manner too.
Yeah.
You do it a lot.
Okay.
And that's where I want you to be aware of that. You all do that in some form or fashion every day in your life.
Yes. You're capable.
You're very capable of it. What you feel in the gym is a greater discomfort than you are than you think you're capable of. But all is this discomfort.
Yeah.
So it's grabbing the bar when you don't want to. It's going another RPM when you don't want to. It's all of that. It's going deeper in a squat when you don't feel safe and comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's setting the dumbbells down when you don't want to. It's, you know, it's everything like that. It's trying something new. It's all of that. And you might go, but Ben, that's scary, uncomfortable. And I go, yes, but so is the rest of life.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Nowhere else in life do you have someone watching over you, able to grab you if you fall, mm-hmm. able to call 911 as fast as humanly possible, and then 10 other people around you to pick you back up,
yeah.
to give you a high five. It doesn't happen a lot in our adult lives. It's why the gym is so cool. Remember that. Like, go, nope, you know what? I'm going to turn the brain off and go ham today and just see what happens. Will it blow you up sometimes and be terribly miserable and be an epic mistake? Yep. But guess what? You'll learn for the next one. You'll learn all of that.
And this is the perfect trainings. I mean, there's all of them are perfect for this, but this is such a great training cycle, this open training cycle we're in. These, you know, people have been coming in, these workouts are really hard lately. It's like, yeah, they're hard in different ways. I mean, all of our workouts are hard, I think. You can make them hard, but these are going to challenge that piece, that mental game, that ability to be uncomfortable. You'll see when we do the open workouts on Fridays, there are ways to make them easy. There's always a way to make them easy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to say, don't.
Well, and it's also why I tell everybody to sign up. Because yeah. you can make it as easy as you want to.
Yeah.
Well, and true. It's just about having fun and doing the thing.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, hey, I'm going gung-ho today. I'm excited. This is my chance to challenge myself.
It's an opportunity.
Myself.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
You can make it go ham.
Yeah. And I guess that's true every day. But these were specifically designed to weed out the people who had not trained well
mm-hmm.
that want to compete at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're designed for.
And they're great for the rest of us to go, this is my judgment on how I've been training
yeah.
and living. Also, this is my opportunity to try something I've never tried before.
Yeah.
Or this is a fun time to laugh in the gym because Robin's wearing a pair of pink booty shorts and 80s leggings and,
hey,
and holding a Let's Get
don't
Physical
give away
sign.
My...
Let's just say if Robin ever makes me mad, I have pictures.
Oh, dear. It's
true. And so that's the whole thing. So what I would say to summarize this whole idea is do more of being comfortable with being uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
and do less of telling yourself you can't do something or you don't believe in yourself in that manner.
Yeah.
Because you got it. We believe in you.
Yeah.
Cool. So we talked strength and greater.
Did you want to talk something you let the another less?
Sure. Which one?
The one I was laughing at, the laziness one.
Yes. So this is along those same lines of don't be lazy. Because here's why. Every time I'm lazy with the gym and other things, it winds up going worse for me. So when I'm lazy with a lift or a warm-up, I wind up getting hurt.
Yeah.
When I'm lazy putting stuff away, somebody notices that it's not clean.
Yeah.
When I'm lazy around, goodness gracious, a standard or something, it turns into way worse. What I see in the gym when I talk about the laziness thing is things like dropping dumbbells from overhead. You just lifted those dumbbells God knows how many times. So you can obviously lift them. So now you're making a choice in a moment of discomfort to put the other people around you at risk, mm-hmm. and yourself. You'll notice those dumbbells are not perfectly shaped. One from a, what is it, an octagon? Are they octagons?
They're hexagons.
Hexagons? I didn't count the sides. I don't know. I don't know if it has eight sides or six
sides.
They're
pentagrams.
Whatever. It's not square and it's not circle. So, and it's not a triangle. I know those three.
Good job.
But I didn't know how many sides were on the dumbbell. I don't count. You're dropping that in a weird shape. Also, some of the rubber's gone off of them. Some of the metal's chipped. So those are going to bounce in a funky way no matter how you set them down. So guess what's going to happen? That dumbbell's going somewhere. And if it lands on someone else's foot, you're going to feel like the most terrible person ever.
Yeah.
And what this honestly took for me was Ben getting caught throwing a temper tantrum in an open workout and a bar rolling and hitting somebody in the middle of a squat snatch. And thank God that person did not get hurt. And thank God they also didn't miss the lift, I don't think.
What a shame.
But you see my point. And all it was me being lazy, not following my barbell, and me throwing a temper tantrum.
Yep.
So what I'll tell everyone, we all have a goal in some way, shape, or form to become stronger when we come to the gym. Set your damn weights down.
Yeah.
Set them down. You can.
Yeah.
It's being comfortable with being uncomfortable. It is a choice. And you might go, well, Ben, it doesn't matter. And nobody's around me. Yeah, it doesn't matter until that kettlebell has a crack in it and the next person picks it up and we don't see it. And now that kettlebell breaks on them.
Yeah.
Or, Ben, it doesn't matter that I'm dropping 10 pounds on a little bar. Yeah, until that plate flops off when someone's trying to lift it. Or now that metal ring in the middle gets somebody, catches on something.
Yeah.
Or you drop a barbell and now it doesn't spin right or doesn't work right. So now they can't lift it better. And I know I'm talking equipment and we'll replace it and all of that, and that's fine. But I want you to think of that the next time you do it. You're setting someone else up for failure. And I don't think there's any jackasses in our gym that would do that on purpose.
Nope.
And if you are, I have a dowel to correct you. No.
All right, so don't... less laziness.
This also goes to loading your bar. Take the little plates off. I know it's hard. It's weird. But guess what? The bigger plates will, one, help you lift it better. Two, they'll share with other people easier. Mm-hmm. So you're not the person taking all of the tens or, you know, having a weirdly shaped bar. Also, the mechanics change.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think. They change.
Yeah.
So take the little plates off, put the big plates on. It's going to be okay.
You'll look more legit too if you do that.
Yes. Also, you came to the gym to do work.
Yes.
Be lazy by sitting, resting. Don't be lazy by misloading your bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and if you warm up with a 15-pound bar and you get it up to 35, go turn it in for the 33-pound bar. Just saying.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
I try and remind people of that all the time. We can change bars and we can load up. We warm up lighter than you think you have to. That's another laziness thing.
Yeah.
Warm up more than you think you need
to. Yeah, skipping the warm up or skipping, don't skip those warm up sets and those practice rounds.
Because you want to get better at what you're doing. So the more practice you get in it, the more you understand and develop the skill, the more your body's moving and sweating, the more loose you feel, the better you're going to move. Yep. And that only comes by doing it. And I got it. There are days you do not want to do that. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
But that's why you show up and have someone in class telling you to do it.
Yeah.
So you're not left to your own devices. Cool. Was there anything else I missed with the laziness thing?
Well, I'm going to segue with one for lifestyle and nutrition.
Perfect.
Okay, so this is back to the original question, what we would like to see more of and what we would like to see less of. And I think Ben agrees, but I personally would love to see a little bit more focus on the healthy habits that we put out every month, but also just ongoing. The the return on investment is cannot be overstated here. And this doesn't mean going on a diet, losing weight, cutting things out of your life that you love. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I do this. I'll throw myself down, and I'm going to try not to do it so much, but being lazy about packing my lunch or breakfast and bringing it to the gym. I used to be so good at that. And lately, what do I do, Ben? What have I been doing?
Well, you do that evil DoorDash thing.
I DoorDash all the freaking... Not only am I spending way too much money. Thank God my husband does not listen to this podcast. But it is... It's like, oh, I'm going to get a bagel and cream cheese. That sounds good right now. And it's so impulsive. And it's because I didn't plan ahead. And I didn't take the time. And not that much time it would have taken to throw something in my lunchbox. So that's a good example of... It's not about... I'm not saying go on a diet. I'm saying... Being good to yourself, nourish yourself, take the time. It is so worth it. And that could be with really healthy food. It could be with getting a little bit better sleep, turning the phone off a little sooner. Be good to yourself. This is something I'm learning about. I put the goal up on the board, is filling up your own cup, like replenishing the things you deplete all the time. And it could be really hard because you're ingrained in your brain to think you're being selfish. But I would challenge everyone to be more selfish about the things you're doing to take care of yourself outside the gym. It will, again, the goals, all goals will be achieved better if you have healthier habits. Whether you want to get strong, look better, feel better, mental health, it's all going to be good. So spend a little extra time and effort on those healthy habits. That's what I would love to see more people that I love that come to this gym do for themselves personally. And a little less rewarding yourself, you know, at the end of the day, because you're just so depleted, right? With bad choices. I do it. We all do it. Or it's the weekend. I'm just going to eat a bunch of crap. Think first. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but just think first. I'd love to see you guys do a little bit better job at that. What about you?
So along those lines, talking the healthy habits piece,
mm-hmm.
We've done a great job in the gym of informing.
Yes.
We put out a lot of information. We inform really, really well. Where we need your help is educating. There's a difference there. So we inform you. You have the information available. Education starts when you start doing it on your own. When you start trying to bring your own lunch.
Mm-hmm.
When you start trying to figure out, oh, I don't get enough sleep. When you start putting in practice those pieces and parts. It's why we put out all this information. Because my hope is somehow, some way, it gets ingrained into you. It gets applied. Because sooner or later, you start to try it. You start to do it. And then we can hold you accountable to it. I can say, hey, when did you go to bed every night this week? And you now looking at it going, crap. And then you become self-sustaining with that. Right? Like, now I know to ask Robin, well, why didn't you pack your lunch today?
Yeah. Great. but it's true. It really helps.
but then Robin all become self-sustaining with it, mm-hmm. and all of that. And guess what that does then? Robin now is the role model to the others. So Robin is now educating other people, which is also educating herself, on these pieces and parts, which makes other people around you better. So Robin said, do it selfishly. But it also makes everybody around you better.
It's not selfish, is my point.
Yeah.
You're gonna be able to give back more too, and in every aspect of your life. And it's, again, it's something maybe all you millennials already know this, but the way I grew up, you were bad if you were giving to yourself and lazy and this and that and the other thing, and you were always supposed to give to others, and that was the goal of life. And now I'm learning, you know, it's so simple. And again, I guess you guys all know this, but the better you are, the more you can do for others, right? We have all heard it, but believe it. It's true.
Yeah. And that's the whole, like, piece part there. And that's why I kind of make a claim there of help us educate.
Yeah.
Because Robin and I spend a good bit of time on the podcast, learning and other things. It's why we do what we do. We need your help.
Tell us what you do to take care of yourself. Tell us what you're doing now, not what you're not doing. I would love to hear that. Like, what is the thing that you do? What is the thing that you love to do and you treat yourself? Maybe it's a massage. Maybe it's spending the day in your jammies, whatever. Like, tell us what it is. That sounds really interesting to me.
Totally. So that's one premise that I've been working on, is helping people not just inform, but educate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that, and we already said this today, don't just optimize, adapt. So like Robin's point on bringing her own lunch, like, yes, that's really important. But you know what? Some days you're going to have to adapt. And it's like, crap, I don't have any food. All right, well, my adaptation is to not order the bagel. It's to order the salad.
Right.
You know, or whatever. You know, or it's, ooh, I'm going to order the bagel now with the understanding that I'm going to have to change my habits later tonight.
Yeah.
And adapt and optimize from there. And that's really key for folks. Like, I think you don't have to be perfect with it. You just have to see it and be aware of it and be like, ooh, crap. I don't have any leftovers to take for breakfast today. What can I put in place instead tomorrow morning?
And take the shame out of it, guys. This is not the point of this. It's, we would like to see more of, that was the original question, right? We'd love to see more of this for your own benefit. But if you don't do it, it's okay. There's always tomorrow. You're just human. You're doing the best you can.
Exactly. And that's where, like, it's so funny. Robin and I debate all these podcasts, and I always come from like, well, you got to be honest with people sometimes. And Robin's like, no, Ben, you can't just criticize them. And I'm like, yes, Robin, you're right. I can't. And I don't mean to, but damn it, I can't sit by and watch you fuck yourself up. Excuse my French.
I know. I'm like, Ben, be kind. But that's how he's being kind. He's like, you need to hear this so that you can be better. And that's my kindness.
And I will say it much kinder to you, to your face and all of that than I'm saying it in my head. I promise. But it's like the kid running with scissors. I'm going to take the scissors from you.
Yeah, and when you see Ben across the gym giving the disapproving looks, don't assume he's criticizing you in his head. All he's doing is thinking, how can I help you better?
Exactly.
Even though his face looks like he's very disappointed in you.
I have resting...
disappointed face.
Resting disappointment or resting processing face. Because I'm literally trying to figure out how to convince you to do it a different way to help you be better.
Yeah.
Because I want to, I take such pride and responsibility in the fact that you have come and trusted me with something. And I know in any good relationship, there's two streets of that. Sometimes it's, hey, you're fucking up.
Yeah.
We got to help you. We got to take the scissors away from you so you can go run around. You know, as childish as that sounds, sometimes as adults, we need to do that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And it comes from that premise of, I want the frickin' best for you. I do not want you to be a miserable person. God, no. Mm-hmm. And it eats at me more when it goes the opposite way than me having to have a tough conversation with you.
Well, that's a good segue into our final point that we wanted to talk about, which is the self-talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yes. We would like to see more positive and less negative. Did I say that straight up?
A little bit. I think that's it's almost even simpler than that.
Okay. Because that was pretty simplistic.
It is. It's. Maybe that is the simplest way. Robin would never let a person badmouth one of her friends. I would never see it happen. I've slightly done it, and she's come to their defense. Even when she knows they are 100% in the wrong. And it's so, but what's so interesting to me is all of us will do that about ourselves. In yeah. So many different ways, shapes, or form. But heaven forbid I make fun of one of your friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, woo-wee. And I'm not just talking to Robin. I'm talking to a bunch of people in the gym. And it's funny because like people will literally come to the defense of someone else in class like that stuff. And I'm I'm like, whoa. No. And it's just a subtle mind shift. We'll go with the, it's cold.
Yeah.
Instead of saying it's cold, say I'm feeling cold. What should I do to change that?
Yeah.
And when you just think of that, it's so utterly empowering because you can change it.
You know,
right? Like, ooh, I'm cold. What can I do to change that? Well, maybe I'll walk back outside and stand in the sun.
Yep.
And move a little bit. Or there's one person I know, he comes to the gym every night, he tells me he's cold. The moment he kind of makes eye contact and goes, yeah, I'm cold, he starts skipping, jumping, hopping, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and he's like, yeah, it's cold in here, Ben. I'm like, okay, but you're moving, right? It's going to warm up. He's like, yep. And I'm like, golden. And you can tell he starts to feel better.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting in that.
Yeah.
Like sitting in that. It's like, oh.
It's miserable. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a choice.
Exactly. And it, and when you realize that, you're it's such an unlock. Like it's such an unlock for people. It's almost a superpower.
I know I come in the gym every day and give you a temperature check of what the gym feels like. It's cold or it's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then it just makes it worse.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And it goes to everything. It goes to,
my back hurts.
My back hurts. Or, oh God, let's go down that rabbit hole. Oh,
let's go.
Wow. So I'm going to shout him out.
Yeah.
He might not want to be shouted out, but he'll be okay with this.
Okay.
Thank you, Misha. So Misha and I were working through, a hamstring issue with him and an injury. He got really pissed in the best way possible because he was very frustrated about being hurt.
Yeah.
And aggravated, not being able to do what he wanted to do. And him and I, one, it took a couple of real talk sessions of like, hey, are you doing the work?
Yeah.
And he started doing the work, which helped him. Two, he came to the understanding, which is one thing I need to do a better job of communicating, and I'm really trying hard to communicate this phenomenon. Your brain will perceive pain and discomfort before it's actual. I wish I could articulate what I learned this morning in a podcast about the reaction times between slow and fast pain and a couple different things, and how your body cares more about where you are in space than what is actually going on sometimes. And so for him, he created a mental pattern around certain movements and things that caused him pain.
Specifically? Give an example.
Deadlifting.
Okay.
There's a bunch of examples. But basically, that pattern would cause him pain.
Okay.
And so, but it was not actually painful.
Right.
It was not actual injury. It was his brain saying, this hurts. This is painful. Stop it. When nothing was actually wrong.
Okay.
And... but it took him understanding and recognizing that.
That seems a little mystical, feeling pain that isn't actually there.
And when you actually study it, there's a whole bunch of scenarios around that where we will come up with pain because of past.
Got it.
There was an injury there, or there was discomfort there, or it's tied to a feeling that someone gave you doing that thing.
Yeah, that's true. Your brain doesn't know time. If something happened to it once, then it happened yesterday to your brain.
And it's also...
even if it was 10 years ago.
It's also trying its hardest to survive.
Right.
It's trying to protect you.
Right.
It's why when people go, I don't want to use my neck. I go, I know you don't. But it's really freaking strong. And the body's figured out a way to use it with everything because it's the best way for it. But we know that breaks down mechanically and positionally.
Yeah.
So it feels uncomfortable to do it mechanically right. Because you've never done it mechanically, right?
Yes. Before. Oh, that happens all the time in the gym. People are like, no, this is not a stronger position. You're like, yeah, it is. But it's over time it will be. Right now it feels wrong.
And it's...
I love that pull-up example.
And it's
with the shruggy.
Exactly. Yeah. In the same way with the pull-up example, my hands are uncomfortable on the pull-up
bar. Yeah.
I got you. I understand it. It's not fun. But it's a desensitization of you are not actually in trouble or pain. you just are uncomfortable here.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Become a little less uncomfortable because you're worried about blisters or things, and you've had that happen to you in the past.
Yeah.
Not even in the gym, in other aspects of life. And it can be as simple as, oh yeah, when I touched the stove, my hand hurt because it was hot.
Yeah.
It's the same thing your brain's feeling when it's on that pull-up bar.
Yeah.
From a very like primordial sense.
Yep.
And so back to Misha, he started reading a book about the mind connection with pain and unwinding that. And so him and I worked through that a little bit, and it helped him gain so much more confidence. And now he's making great strides and progress. Does he still feel discomfort and pain? Yes. Do we still have to modify certain things and work through them? Yes. But now there's a better relationship with that pain.
Mm.
And it's really freaking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do it all the time. And nobody would guess it, but I do it. I know it fundamentally in my head. And it's where the better you get at being okay with that, the better you're going to be. And that's part of the self-talk. It's no, I'm all right. No, I'm okay. Yes, this is dangerous and risky, but I'm going to do everything I can to my best. It's that piece that is there. And then the other side of it is the piece of, okay, if I fuck this up completely, excuse my French, I can come back from it.
A lot of F-bombs today.
Sorry, I don't know how to say
it's
it.
It's not a judgment. I'm in.
I'm not eloquent with my words today.
He's like,
but
this is my preferred adjective.
But today, some of these need to be said. So I'm using it as a point of emphasis.
Yes.
Not just as a fuck counter. Where it's fuck. Excuse my French. So that's what I want you to understand with the self-talk is just flipping the narrative to, I'm worried I'm going to drop this on my head, to, hey, I'm going to try my hardest with this and I'm going to get out of the way if I feel like it's going to drop on my head.
I used to have years ago in the gym a spray bottle and it had a label YBF. I used to spray actual water on people, and then I took the water out and I just mimed it because they didn't like that so much. But
thank you. I was gonna say don't bring that back.
I go, oh, you need some YBF spray, and I think about this sometimes too for myself. I'm like, give yourself a squirt of that YBF, you'll be fine. Is YBF?
Yeah.
So you'll be fine. Get a little YBF spray on you, and you're gonna be okay. And you can just tell yourself that. You can borrow that one, or you can make up your own little 3-word, 2-word mantra of, it's okay, you're okay, it'll be fine. You know? Do you have one?
I don't know if I have like a specific to
it. Is it the one Nike stole from you?
No.
Just do it?
No. Sometimes it is. No, legitimately it is.
Yeah.
Other times it's just like, it's you gotta do the work. You gotta do the work. There's a quote on my whiteboard. Life isn't supposed to be easy.
That's so dark.
Well, here's why. Here's why. It's not. It's just not. And that's okay. Because we all know when we overcome a challenge, it really feels good.
It does.
It really feels good. And it's not to be mistranslated, because Nick and Robin both make fun of me for it. And it's more the expectation. If I don't expect it to be easy and then it is easy, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Right? When I expect it to be a little harder, or I expect to have to do work with it, and it works on the first try.
Yeah, all so right. Nice. It's your little mind trick.
And it's because if I go in with it expecting it to work on the first try, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Ben's going to be pissed. Yeah. Ben's going to be frustrated. Yeah. Ben's going to be angry. And instead, now it's like, no, I don't expect this to go my way. I don't expect this to be easy for me. And all that does is allow me the freedom to go, nope, let's do this. And that's what's most important to this.
Are we getting to our time limit?
We're close, but we got time.
Okay, good.
And that's what I'm saying. When you talk to yourself, it's going, yep, it's not supposed to be easy. That's okay. I'm tough.
Yeah.
I can handle this.
Yeah.
And then when it goes completely wrong, you miss the lift, you hurt yourself. What I'm going to tell you right off the bat, most injuries in here will recover in 7 to 14 days with rest.
Yeah.
The injuries that don't, they can be helped with either properly warming up or just little rehab exercises that unwind it. And that's fine. I see it all the time. Now, of course, there are more catastrophic injuries. We've seen the broken bones. We've seen that stuff. The beauty of today's medical system and the smartness of the coaches that you work with and the smartness of the practitioners that we can connect you with, they will bring you back. There's no but... I can't think of an injury yet that we can't bring you back from.
This has gotten very dark.
It is, but it's to give you that confidence that, like, hey...
The odds are you're never going to injure yourself.
One, you're not going to injure yourself. Two, you talking badly about yourself and not doing it is going to lead to injury.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that a lot. Like, kind of half, especially yesterday's snatches. Half-assing a heavy hang power snatch is going to be much more harmful to you than committing to it and just going for it. You won't drop the bar on your head. Your body won't allow you to do that. But if you kind of half-ass and you have to, like, compromise your form and you can't see me again, I'm kind of bending. I've seen people try to, like, duck under their bar. That's the kind of stuff that gets you hurt.
And I'm going to change Robin's word from half-assing to tentativeness.
Yeah.
Or overthinking.
Yeah.
Because... I think that's what you're trying
to say. Those are ways of half-assing, yeah.
Exactly. Because what I'm going to say is it's not a half... When I hear half-ass, I think of laziness, lack of effort.
Right. No.
And I'm thinking it's the other way of, as Robin said, you're not committing to it.
Or your head somewhere else.
Your head somewhere else. Yeah. You're unfocused.
Yeah.
Or you're so scared, you're going to get in your own way.
Yeah.
And what I'll tell you, and this is a mantra I do when I lift heavy, strong and fast.
Yep.
Strong and fast.
Yeah.
Because I know that's all I can control.
Yeah.
And if it goes awry or gets messed up, I'll be okay.
Yep. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Exactly. And that's what I want you all to remember is, like, even if you overdo it in the gym, you can come back from it in any way, shape, or form.
My panics is we talk about it all the time. I do. The double unders make my heart spike and it makes me panic. I've never dropped dead with a heart attack. I've never had a heart issue. I've never needed the AED machine. I've always been okay. But it doesn't feel like it in the moment.
Nope. Excuse me. And that's important because now you recognize that in other situations in life.
Yes. Yes.
And you can be the calming grace in other bad situations.
Breathe through it. You're going to be okay.
Well, yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Small kid freaking out about spilt milk or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, no. Just get a couple of paper towels. Let's clean it up. That's,
oh, yeah. Again,
unfortunately,
we grew up very differently.
Yeah. Well, no.
Spilled milk was a federal offense in my house.
Yeah, I did get yelled at for spilling my milk, but also me crying didn't make it any better. And that's what I want you to understand.
But you guys aren't kids. You're in control of your own destiny. Yeah.
But also, you are fundamentally kids, so you will revert back to that.
Ben says that about you all the time, by the way.
No, we all. And it's said with the most endearing thing,
yes.
Because... if you weren't somewhat toddlers, some of the shit you say to me, I'd be like, I should punch you in the face for saying that to me. Or the way in which you just acted towards me is highly disrespectful that you don't understand that you did. But then I go, nope, you're just a toddler in a grown-up's body.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
What I am.
And that's why I say it that way, because it's really out of love for you all that I say that. Like, because if it was the other way, I would just punch you in the face.
Oh my goodness. So violent today. Well, profanity, violence. I don't know. I don't hate this. I don't hate it.
Sometimes you have to see this side of it.
You got a good cop and you got a bad cop.
And it's less even good cop, bad cop. It's stylistic ways to help you better.
Yeah.
And we need both.
You definitely need both. I need both.
And so that's the big more is be.
So be nice to yourself and then be harder on yourself.
Exactly. Be
that's
honest.
Your takeaway today.
Be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And then on the days you feel like shit, go, hey, Ben, I feel like shit today. I'm like, okay, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Warm up, give it a shot. And I'll see it. I can tell you. And when it's not clicking, I won't push you.
Yeah.
But if it's clicking, let's go. Let's try. Because far more often, it's going to work. So.
Yeah.
I think that covered all the more or lesses we wanted to talk.
So we were kind of squirrely all over, so I just want to kind of close it out with the synopsis. Right? Do I have time?
You got time.
The question was, what would we like to see more of? What would we like to see less of? And I can never remember the third one.
We actually didn't cover the third one, so I'm not even going to
say
it. So the third one was, what should we be doing more of outside of class?
Yeah.
And we kind of didn't.
Well, we're gonna talk about mobility, healthy habit next week, and I think we're going to pick that question up a little bit.
Yes. Well, yeah. And also all the more, what should we be doing outside of class? It's all the healthy habits.
All the healthy habits. Yeah. Okay. So we answered that. But anyway, so that we talked about how you talk to yourself. We talked about healthy habits. And then we talked about being uncomfortable. We'd like to see you put yourself out there a little more and have a little more confidence in yourself. Did that sum it up?
Yep. And we want to see less of negative self-talk.
Yep.
We want to see less of being lazy for just laziness' sake.
Less optimization, more adaptation.
Yes. Less trying to just always optimize and being okay with adapting at times.
Yep.
And then...
And then replenish yourself outside the gym.
Yeah. And then this is a less and a more. Less just informing yourself, more applying and educating yourself.
Yeah. Like it.
So don't just take in our information. Go try something with it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what the heck that looks like, ask.
Yeah. Please.
I got plenty of ideas. Cool.
Yeah. That was a good one.
I think that covers everything.
Good idea. Yeah.
Sometimes. All right. You all take care. Bye for now.